have a bit of a focus on small farmers today, or, well, more accurately, farmers with smaller holdings, with conversations on eggs, farm gate sales, and, well, a couple of different ways people have got to support their local farmers. I'm Pearl Meyer, and this is Farmer in the Dell on your community radio station, MVFF. Jan Davies from the TFGA is in here today. Now, while I was away on my little road trip, I got news that there was changes to the egg laws down here in Tasmania. Now, I need to declare an interest write-up. I prefer to buy genuine free-range eggs, not the legal free-range, the genuine free-range. So I usually buy eggs from smaller producers. And they're the ones that are going to be affected mostly by the changes. So I thought I would ask Jan, what's going on and what's your opinion and how does it all work?
I'm not exactly sure that's right. All commercial egg producers, so people who sell eggs, have the same requirements being put upon them, and this eventually will be national. And that is, if you have more than 20 hens and you sell eggs, you will have to stamp your eggs with an identifying mark. It could be date stamp, could be with a logo or whatever. So that if there's an issue with health, a health issue with salmonella or E. coli or any of those nasty, nasty diseases, the eggs can be traced back to source.
Do the producers that don't currently stamp their eggs, will they actually have to do a food standard course?
They'll have to do a very short, very basic food hygiene, food care course, which I would have thought when you're handling food would have been something you would have done anyway.
So why is there a big kerfuffle? This sounds like a really, really practical thing.
I don't understand why we've got such a fuss about it. If we accept, and I do, that this is about food safety, and I guess I'm lucky enough, probably not the right word, but I've actually seen some data about illness caused by food contamination and particularly from egg products, which is one of the worst carriers of food contamination. And mm-hmm. I accept that this is a food safety thing. If it's a food safety thing, well, I guess we've got to do these things, haven't we?
But my concern on the food safety is that a lot of the smaller producers may not be aware of the food safety regulations so far as using new cartons, those sorts of things, and whether you wash them, how you wash them. And to me, if there's a stamp on it, then I know then those people have done the food safety course or are aware of their food safety implications and are meeting the standards.
Under these new regulations, everybody who sells eggs, over 20 hens, so if you've got less than 20 hens, it doesn't cover you. Yep. But because they're basically considering that to be backyard rather than commercial, then you will have to do a food safety course. It won't be an onerous thing, but basic food safety, and you'll have to stamp your eggs. Now, our government has said they'll help out here, that they'll make sure that there are reasonably priced courses available, and they'll make sure that, in fact, I think they've even offered to provide stamps for egg producers if they can't manage that themselves. So really, they've done as much as they can to minimise the impact, and certainly, you know, I can't personally understand if we're accepting it as a food safety issue, what all the big fuss is about.
Hmm. My brother used to have, over in WA, used to have pastured eggs. And it was one of the little bonding experiences when I went to visit. We'd sit there and I was either putting stickers on cartons or stamping eggs or... I didn't think it was that big a deal. Maybe I'm biased because I'm trying to get the other side of the story where people are getting upset and I'm missing something, maybe.
I don't know that we are. I think that this is a personal view, and you would need to talk to others to make sure that I was on the money. There is a view amongst some people that anything that involves any regulation or organisation of food product moves it into what they consider to be industrial and commercial. And for them, that takes away the spirit of it being, you know, one-on-one farmer to customer and being straight from the farm.
When it comes to food safety, I want to know that wherever I buy my food, that it's safe for me to eat, and that means correct labelling. And the Food Standards Australia have got a really, really easy system to do with food labelling, so that if I've got an allergy or a specific dietary requirement, I know what I'm getting in my food. I want my food to be prepared in a kitchen that's clean and that people have washed their hands and the other basic bits that go along with that. To me, that's a matter of safety. That's not a matter of industrialisation. That's just a basic requirement, really.
I couldn't agree more, and I'm finding it very difficult to understand the degree of angst that I'm hearing out there in the community. Anybody who knows anything about risk management will understand that when you look at risk, you look at potential and consequence, likelihood and consequence. Anybody who's a big egg producer that supplies major supermarkets or you know, does that sort of stuff, has to have in place already enormous amounts of food safety and hygiene and quality assurance. They are inspected and audited and looked at in a detail that none of us could possibly imagine. So the risk factor there is quite low at farm point. Now, obviously, what happens after farm is a different matter again, and the farmer has no control over that. But at farm, when those eggs leave farm, they're as safe as they could possibly be. Mm-hmm. The issue that we're dealing with here is for smaller producers, none of that exists. I don't understand why consumers would not want to be reassured that all of their egg products, or any other products for that matter, are safe at point of leaving farm. And to me, I find this argument that's being run by some, that smaller producers should be exempt from this, to be quite bizarre.
Why should smaller producers not have to maintain basic safety? And
I don't understand. To me, it's like saying, well, you know, look, we're going to exempt all restaurants that are owned by mum and dad restaurant owners from any food safety because they're small and family owned.
Again, this is just saying I know how to handle my food safely. I've produced it safely. I've handed it on, Mr. Consumer, buy my product with confidence.
And that's been my position, and I have to say I've been quite strongly vilified for it. My view is if this is about food safety, the same rules should apply to everybody. If it's not about food safety, then nobody should have to bother.
I haven't actually read the legislation on that, but if the legislation is passed, does that mean is it just the stamping and the food safety they have to do, or will they then, small egg producers then be opening to the auditing process and the inspections and that sort of stuff? Is that in there, or is it just stamping?
No, it's just stamping. And I have to say, when we started this conversation, I was very sceptical and quite negative about the whole thing. I thought this was over-regulation unnecessarily. I have subsequently been shown the figures for foodborne contamination in Tasmania, and there are significant instances of E. coli and salmonella traced back to eggs. If that's the case, and I have no reason to doubt the figures, then this is it's an understandable move.
Hey, what else is happening in the farming world in Tasmania?
Oh, look, we're running into election early next year, so everything's mad here at the moment. We've got bizarre weather. We're just drowning, I guess, in the overload of regulation coming up to the end of a parliament sitting period, which for us, you know, means we're really busy, but the farmers are happily getting along being farmers.
And that's the way the TFGA works.
That's exactly the way we work, that's right. One of the big issues we've been looking at over the last few weeks has been the release of the Bushfire Commissioner's recommendations here after the fires earlier this year. We're working through those at the moment, looking at how we can ensure the government acts on those recommendations and how we can ensure that our farmers are safe and secure without too much of a problem in managing fires on their own properties. Mm-hmm. So that's been a big one for us.
That was Jan Davies from the TFGA. If you are an egg producer that will be affected by these changes and have a differing opinion, please let me know. My email is pearl@mvfm.com.au, or you can leave a comment on the website. And just in case you are running to get your pen, the email is pearl@mvfm.com.au. And while I'm talking about the website, don't forget you can pop over there and get all of the contact details, additional info from today's show, as well as download your own podcast. Now, coming up next, we have Rain Tree Crow with Where the Road Began. Comes to supporting our farmers, some people go to their local farmers market, some people woof, some people, well, write parodies to what I'm reliably informed is the biggest song on the face of the planet. We have Derek Klingenberg on the phone, who has written a parody for What Does the Fox Say and has come up with What Does the Farmer Say. Welcome to Farmer in the Dell, Derek.
Thank you.
So how did this come about?
Well, I was on the last day of harvest, we were cutting our last field of corn, and my friend texted me, and he texted me, "What does the farmer say?" And that was it. And I instantly thought of what video I would like to do next.
Had you heard What Does the Fox Say?
I had heard it like 2 weeks ago or something, and for some reason it didn't click. But once he sent me the text, then it clicked.
Because I got sent your video before I heard the original.
Uh-huh.
So it made a whole lot more sense once I'd seen the original.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes, carry on.
Yeah, well, I like the original, and my little girls like it too. And so I decided I better start filming. So I quickly ran home, got my video camera, and filmed some shots of us harvesting corn before we were done for the season.
The rest is history, as they say.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, and then I wrote it pretty quick, and then I go in and then I record it in my friend's studio. Yeah, and then I made the video, and I do a lot of it in front of a green screen.
And it looks like you've got the rest of the family involved,
yeah,
as well.
Well, my youngest brother, who farms with me, who doesn't want to be on camera, he was the one throwing the log off the trailer with a cowboy hat on. And then my middle brother is the one dancing with the white legs and stuff. And he's actually he's a pastor in Beatrice, Nebraska.
And the kids are your kids?
Yeah, the two girls are mine and the boy was his. And I have another little girl, but she's too little.
Okay, next one. Because this isn't your first video either, is it?
No, I've done quite a few here in the past year.
And you do regular songs, if I can put it that way, as well as parodies?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I started out doing songs that I wrote. And, well, originally we had a bluegrass group called the Possum Boys. That was me and my brothers and another guy and a gal. And we disbanded, and I had written some songs, such as Bumblebees in the Hay. And so I needed a creative outlet, so I went out and bought a video camera and made a music video of it. And then I started, people like the way I run a camera, so I started doing some work locally and started making money, so I went and upgraded my whole system to professional level. And then last year I decided to start hitting YouTube up again, and so I did Daddy D, which is an original, and then decided maybe I'd try for more hits, and so I decided parodies would be a better option.
And you've done pretty darn well with this one.
Yeah.
Do you know how many
ridiculous
hits you've got yet?
Yeah, right now it's at 1.3 million. And, well, last night, it's called Upworthy.com. They
mm-hmm.
posted it on their Facebook, so now it's just going crazy today.
You might get more hits than Psy. You realize that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I doubt that. That's a lot of zeros.
Now, you've mentioned you were at a harvest when you started doing this, and the harvest is obviously featuring in the video. As well as producing music, you're obviously a farmer as well.
Yeah.
Did you take over a family farm, or did you start a farm, or how did that work?
Yeah, my grandpa came over from West Prussia with his parents when he was 9, and then eventually married my grandma, and then that's when the farm started here. And he passed away 10 years ago or so, and then my dad took it over, you know, and then now it's me and my brother working with my dad.
And apart from corn, what else do you do on your farm? Is it mixed farming or just cropping?
Yeah, it's wheat and soybeans, and we background cattle.
Mm-hmm. You've got your hands full, really.
Yeah, and yeah, with kids and stuff. Yeah, I don't sleep a whole lot.
I can understand that, yes.
But I'm having fun, so that's all right.
Well, that's the purpose of life, isn't it? Whatever we're doing,
oh, yeah,
we try and get a smile out of it.
Oh, can I tell you, I came to Australia in 2001.
Did you? Where did you go?
Yeah. Well, I went to Kansas State University, and we took a trip in the wintertime, December, and we went to Brisbane and went out to the Toowoomba area.
Mm-hmm.
And we're touring the ag there, and we were touring Peter Black's farm, and I was getting on the bus to leave, and he stopped me. He said, I've got a little boy and a girl, and we want pen pals. And I told him I got two neighbor boys, little boys, and I'll go hook you up with them. And so I got back, and I told him to write the Blacks, and they did, and those two families have become best friends. They're also farmers here. And since then, they have gone, both families have gone to visit each other, and the blacks are coming back again here in December.
The Toowoomba area would have been a little bit different temperature-wise to winter in Kansas, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, I was loving it. I get cold.
You're living in the wrong place if you get cold.
Oh, I know. Well, I mean, it gets hot here in the summer, you know, but it gets a lot colder here, I'm guessing.
Well, next time you come to Australia, you're going to have to fit Tasmania in. You could do the whole country, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that'd be fun. I'll probably come down someday when my girls get older.
And if you get to have more hits than Si, maybe we can get you a sponsor to come out sooner rather than later.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fine. I'd come down. I would probably say yes.
Oh, let's do a world tour for the biggest thing on YouTube. I just really want to thank you for spending some time with us this morning. This is an absolute joy for me because I keep getting this video posted to my Facebook wall. So to actually chat to you, I think is just awesome. Excellent. I'm going to let you get on with your day.
Okay.
And again, thank you ever so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And we'll stay in contact.
Yeah, sounds good.
Dog goes woof, cat goes meow, Twitter goes tweet, and my phone goes beep. Miley twerks, Katie roars, and the Chiefs go touchdown. Sigh goes quack, the Dow goes crunch, and the government shuts down. But there's one sound that no one knows. What does the farmer say?
Work, 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 work. Work, 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 work. Work, 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 work.
What does the farmer say?
Yip, 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 ha! Yip, 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 ha! Yip, 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 ha!
What does the farmer say?
Vroom, 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 vroom. Vroom, 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 vroom.
What does the farmer say?
Cup, 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 cup. Cup, 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 cup. Cup, 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 cup.
What does the farmer say?
Big blue skies, straight corn rows, working nights and dirty clothes. Callous hands, working lands, taking care of fertile soil. Your arms are tan, your legs are white, with the pliers on your side. Next time you eat your food of chores, listen for the farmer's voice.
What does the farmer say?
Yawn, 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 yawn.
What does the farmer say?
Wave, 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 wave.
What does the farmer say?
Was Derek Klingenberg with What Does the Farmer Say? Now, when I last checked, that had gone up to well over 2.2 million hits. The YouTube link is on our website, farmerinthedelltasmania.blogspot.com.
That time I saw you, you were shining so bright, I could hardly bear to look at you. But for all the things you said, it was all the things you did that pulled me in. It scared me, began to is ask you why. You drag me in, skin to skin, pull me down, hold me under, drag me in, skin to skin, pull me down, hold me under. This weird kind of connection, but I never thought I'd step over the line.
Local Farmer is a Facebook group which is set up to, well, surprisingly enough, support your local farmer. Now, it's based in New South Wales, but there's information on there that I think applies to people, well, around Australia and around the world, really. So we've got Marie on the phone. Hi, Marie. You've been the person behind this successful campaign.
Yes. Hello. How are you going? Yep. That's right. It's about probably nearly 7,000 people likes on there. So, yep. So it's growing day by day, little by little.
And what's your background? Are you a farmer or you just support farmers?
I grew up in the farm and at the moment I'm a part-time farmer and my whole family are into farming as well. So, I've pretty much known the farming life since I was born.
The information that you provide apart from practical farm things like your biozones and that sort of stuff, there's some really good conversation points about GMOs and Monsanto and bees and all sorts of bits and pieces. Are you actively looking for that or do people send it to you?
No, I'm just, I'm quite interested in that sort of stuff because, you know, farming used to be, you know, organic 100 years ago. We never had chemicals or any of that sort of stuff. And then automatically, within the last 50 years, these chemicals started coming into farming and agriculture. And, you know, and also with the genetically modified seeds and all of that stuff, we never had that like 100 years ago. So the point of having that today is purely for money. it's just a money-hungry thing, and it's not right. I just don't believe in GMO. It's I know there's farmers out there who say, yes, I use GMO, it supports us, but when you have to pay Monsanto to use their seeds every year, I don't see that as a successful sort of farming business at all.
You've got a really impressive quote from Willie Nelson that seems to be part of the credo of your page. Our food system belongs in the hands of many family farmers, not under the control of a handful of corporations. And I guess your support of more organic things or anti-Monsanto sort of fits into that as well. Not the corporations that own the farms, it's not the corporations that are pulling the strings on the farms either.
That's right. Well, ultimately, like, as I said, you know, 50 to 100 years ago, farmers didn't use this sort of stuff, like any of that chemical side of things. And just, you know, in this day and age, people are just, well, farmers are slowly learning about organics. And, you know, there's so many ways you can help your farm organically, but people or farmers just don't know about these sort of resources that we have. Hopefully, you know, in the future, farmers in Australia will adopt more organic methods. But the GMO side of things, it's just not right. I just really don't believe in it.
You also seem to be supporting people shopping at places other than Colesworth and foreign ownership as well. So it's quite a lobby group as well that you've set up.
Mm. Yes, yep. Basically, Coles and Woolworths are the giants. They're the supermarket giants. They control what goes in your shopping trolley. They control what you think to buy for food. They're not going to obviously say, why don't you just go to your local farming store or your local greengrocer and say, buy some, you know, vegetables from them. Of course not. They obviously want to make their money, and they're quite successful at making their money. But at the same time, locals are suffering, and they're suffering badly from it. And there's so many little roadside stalls that are just closing their businesses down because they can't make a profit anymore. It's just the way we you know, the time we live in at the moment. It's just so hard to make ends meet these days, especially for struggling farmers as well.
So what would your top tips be for people to support their local farmers?
Top tips? Definitely shop at your local farmers market. Try and buy Australian made wherever you can. Even if you shop at, look, if you're going to have to shop at Coles or Woolies, try and support Australian grown and Australian made products. And of course, always, you know, if you go to a greengrocer, if you see where the product's been grown and if it says Australia, then just go for it, buy the Australian stuff. You just need to support your locals, you know. The Australian economy needs it severely. So, yeah.
Definitely. And I think it's interesting when we're talking about local farmers. I mean, huge swathes of Queensland are in drought. I'm sure some of WA is still in drought. Like, there's a lot of farmers that are doing it tough. And not necessarily all farmers, because there's a whole range of farming styles and of farming locations. But a lot of farmers are doing it tough, and at the same time, there's a lot of regular community members that are doing tough. So if the local community members can support the farmers, and then the farmers can support through employment and other avenues local community members, everyone wins.
Oh, of course, definitely. Yeah. It's just, as I said, it's just the way things are these days. You know, it's very money-driven, and cheap people just want to save money. I don't blame them if they want to save some money, but at the same time, you know, that little extra dollar helps a local farmer, you know, or a local business. And it's just only a couple of extra dollars, that's all. I mean,
and it keeps our country towns strong and vibrant too.
Yes, it does. Definitely. So definitely.
There's a lot of flow-ons from supporting a local farmer.
So if you want any more information, just hop onto the Facebook page, support your local farmer, tell your friends about it, and, do your shopping either at the farmer's markets or at your local greengrocer, or if you have to shop at Coles or Woolworths, try and buy the Australian-owned and made brands. And, those few extra dollars will support your local farmer and local businesses as well.
Good advice for all of us.
Take my freedom, no one can make my choice, no one can steal my life away, nor will they silence my voice. For I am a never-ending story, I am a constant song, I am a very long letter and a river. Oh, so long. Free as a bird, soaring through the sky, knowing no boundaries, flying higher than high. We're on our way to freedom. No one can tell me what I have, no one can tell me what I'll be, no one can tell me who I am or what I'm going to see. But I am who I want, but I am who I mean, but I am who I really am and what I really sing. Free as a bird, soaring through the sky, knowing no boundaries, flying higher than high. We're on our way to freedom. We're on our way. It's all worth the worry being caught. We're on our way to freedom. Our skin is our blend, yet we're all
was Freedom's Lullaby by today's Tasmanian musos, Rain Tree Cow. So I'm with Jenny Edlington, who is
a smallholder here in Deloraine who's growing some fruit and vegetables, who's looking to sell farm gate. Well, let's have a chat and see what else is happening. Hello and welcome to Farmer in the Dell.
Thank you.
So how did you get about planting here in Deloraine? What's your farming history?
My farming history is, I guess it's pretty long. I was born on a dairy farm in Canberra. I went to Canada 30 years ago and farmed there for 20 years, and I've just returned to Australia to live and chosen Deloraine to continue farming.
I heard on the grapevine you were planting for the Little Red Tractor Market, which isn't happening, which is why you now have some produce that you need to be selling. Is that about right?
Yeah, I was very disappointed to hear that the market wasn't to go ahead, and consequently I now have to find another way to sell what I've been growing, and the idea is to have a small farm gate stall and encourage people to come to the farm to buy what would otherwise have been sold at that market.
So what sort of things have you got in the ground? Not necessarily ripe this weekend, but what sort of things have you got in the ground?
At the moment, a fairly limited range of spring greens. But after Christmas, if the weather cooperates, I hope to have all the heat-loving vegetables like tomatoes, onions, cucumbers, zucchini, potatoes, basil. That's about it, I think.
So from a smallholder's perspective, who's looking to grow vegetables to sell locally, I mean, I'm assuming you're not looking to go simplot size, what sort of options do you have when it comes to selling if you're not farm gating?
I think very limited options. If small farmers aren't selling direct to the public, it's very difficult to survive on wholesale price by selling it to a retailer. Retailers can't pay enough to make it worth small farmers selling to them.
Are there retailers that are willing to buy, say, 10 bunches of greens this week and maybe one next week and maybe none the week after, or do they require a longer and more sustained availability?
Probably the latter, but I have been fortunate in being able to have a very small amount of food go to the greengrocer in Launceston, and he's happy to take whatever, whenever.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to planting and harvesting, you're obviously one person on your own, and I know you're using organic principles. So how do you go when it comes to labour and all that sort of stuff, machinery or what have you?
Yes, I do this by myself, and for some things like garlic harvest, which is coming up, I will need some help, and there are a couple of options. One is to get some woofing help, willing worker on organic farm help, as Tasmania attracts a lot of young people looking for the farm experience. And the other option is to find some paid help, and the third option is to ask people who are willing to help to support small farm production to also help.
I think we can throw a garlic party. I personally like that idea.
Sounds good.
When we were at the Food Network Forum earlier this year, there was a lot of talk about CSAs, community-supported agriculture, that sort of thing. Is that an option when it comes to your property, or are you looking to do this yourself? Where's the line drawn in your decision-making there?
I think that's a good option for the future. This is the farm gate option that I've decided upon right now is just basically come out of the failure of the Deloraine Farmers Market to proceed. So this is a way of quickly dealing with produce in the ground that needs to be consumed and sold.
With the farm gate that you're looking at, is that going to be every day or once a week, or how's that going to work?
Once a week at this point, on a Saturday, starting at 9 and going till about 4. And I'm hoping to find other farmers who don't have such a good location to bring their produce along as well and round out what I do with more variety.
that's one of the difficulties I've found locally. We obviously have our fruit and veg shop, but other than that, unless you're growing very large scale, there's not a lot of outlets, being that we don't have a farmer's market. For people who either have surplus produce from their own big garden, or for small landholders, there doesn't appear to be a lot of options or reason for people to even start planting, because there's not the options.
Yeah, it's very difficult. The whole marketing end of growing food is, I think, a big challenge for small farmers. Farmers markets are one option, but if you're not growing enough for a farmers market, or don't care to attend a farmers market, then the options are very limited.
You also need a regular and a larger supply for a farmers market, and even ignoring the vagaries of the weather and the snails and the slugs and whatever else can come along, that actually requires quite a bit of land and effort to ensure that you've got 50 pumpkins each week or whatever.
Yeah, I think it needs to be certly on a larger scale than I'm doing, and it may take years to establish that degree of certainty so that you can attend a farmer's market on a regular basis. Many variables contribute to success or failure of growing food.
And even within those many years of sort of the, as you said, dealing with the vagaries of your plot and the weather and what have you, the reality is in the meantime you still need an income to pay the rent, if nothing else.
Yes, you do. And right now, to overcome that, I have a couple of off-farm gardening jobs, which are paying the bills till the food comes in.
And I know for one farmer in particular who doesn't live in Tasmania, that's a bit of a chicken and egg, because they need to work off-farm to get an income to sustain the farming until it kicks off. But that also takes them away from the farm and time that they could be putting into the farm. So, yeah, they get a bit circular sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's the reality of a lot of small farms. And we need to let people know, or educate people about the difficulties and the challenges of farming, and encourage people to spend more time with their farmer and know their farmer and understand the challenges that farmers face, all scales of farming face.
I'm a big fan of the farmer's market and the farm gate, or anywhere where you can meet your farmer, quite frankly. And I think that also helps too with helping consumers change the supermarket mentality of what they buy, and things like recipe ideas and how to cook it and what's in season and what goes together. Is that the sort of thing that you're also looking to do? Like if someone sort of says, oh, look, you've got kale, how do I, it's this weird vegetable my kids won't eat, what do I do? Are you able to sort of help them with that as well?
To some degree. I don't try to encourage people how to eat the food, but I do encourage people to support local farms and eat produce that's superior to anything that can be purchased in the supermarkets.
So if people are looking to come and either support you as a producer and get their greens or whatever else happens to be available that week, or if there's another farmer who has some access and is looking to get in contact with you, how do they go about that?
Probably the best way is just to call by. I live halfway to the tip on the right-hand side from Deloraine, and the best way to identify the gate is it has two white lines on it, and you're very welcome to just call in and have a talk and see what's going on here.
So that is Saturdays between 9 and 4?
Yes, yep. Starting this Saturday, and not necessarily every Saturday. I guess the best way to see if I have anything is to look on the road, and it's just 2 kilometres from town, not very far to come.
We're going to include that in our farmers market roundup each week too, so if you're listening to us, you'll know whether Jenny's available the next day to go get your local produce using organic methods, fruit, veg, whatever happens to be available.
Well, thanks for that. It's starting up very, very small, and the challenges with the weather this year have been pretty immense, and availability really depends on a lot of things, and certainly this season it seems the weather is a major influence on when things will be ready and if things will be ready. So people need to understand the challenges of this season.
And from little things may big things grow. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And while we're discussing farmers markets, this weekend on Saturday we have the Devonport Foreshore Market and the Harvest Launceston Market. And on Sunday, which folks will be able to believe it, it's the 1st of December, we have the Ballarive Farmgate Market, the Bream Creek Farmers Market, the Tasmanian Farmgate Market, the Launceston Farmers Market, the Meet the Producer Market, and just down the road in Devonport we have the Don Market. Get out there and support your local farmers this weekend, folks. And on that happy note, I think that's about all the time we have for today. I'm Pearl Meyer. You've been listening to Farmer in the Dell on your very own community radio station, MVFM.